This episode is brought to you by Splash Refresher. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash, they spice it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. My flavor that I've been enjoying the most lately is the wild berry. Keep one on your desk. You'll be hydrated in no time. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger. Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With me, Dylan Hafer.
Hold on, check, Nibo.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I'm Dylan Hafer, and I'm so excited to be joined in the studio today by a longtime returning guest, a friend of mine, a fellow Bravo sister, Sarah Galley. Welcome back to the show.
Oh my God, it's such a pleasure to be here. It's such a thrill. It's been a minute.
It's been a minute since you've been in the stew.
I've been
in your stew last week. So we're caught up in the sense of, like, we've talked about these current seasons that are happening on Bravo, you and I, but maybe not here. Maybe not on this show.
Yeah. And the nice thing is that our podcasts have different energies. So it's never a duplicate. It's always sort of just continuing the conversation, which I really love.
I love that too. And I think that if you haven't listened to Andy's Girls, go check it out because I was on last week. So if you want to hear about last week's episode of Miami and Beverly Hills before you hear about this one.
And who doesn't?
I mean, the thing is, I feel like you and I are kind of on the same wavelength where we have hosted Bravo podcasts for a long time. Mm. And so there's like a limit to how much we really like take in, like listen to like other shows and stuff. But I talk to people who listen to like so many Bravo podcasts on a weekly basis.
I love that.
And I would just like to say thank you to those people. Congratulations. You're out there in the trenches doing the work. And, you know, putting in the time.
If I didn't have a Bravo podcast, I would listen to like 15 Bravo pods a week.
Do you think?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Because I think it's the entirety of the universe. And if I'm a completionist with 99% of housewives accepting the COVID season of Orange County, then I would be a completionist with pods too. Why would I stop at other people's perspectives of the shows that I love?
That's a good point. Yeah, it's a lot to keep up with, but it's a labor of love. And I think that once you get into the rut, you kind of can't get out of it.
Yeah, no, the second you start your own show, you're like, bye-bye.
Yeah, so speaking of keeping up with all the Housewives shows, a show that's not on right now but is coming back is Real Housewives of Atlanta. And we found out this week that season 16 is going to be a reboot is the word that's being used, but with a mix of new and returning cast members. And the first cast member that we have announced is Portia. Can you tell me, I talked about this on yesterday's episode a little bit, but like, what is your take on Portia coming back officially?
Feels like destiny. I also have the benefit of not having seen her spinoff, which I heard mixed reviews about. Mm. So I think I can come in with just the blind faith and happiness and gratitude that she's returning and it's going to be perhaps the last Portia that we've seen. But the interesting thing with Portia is she's been through, sort of Luann style, just so many different chapters. And she's such a different person. She's grown so much, more than many other housewives from her first season through now. And so I don't know anything about like the Simon era of Portia. I really don't, aside from what she shows on social. So I'm really curious to see that, to see how she co-parents. And, you know, the first thing I thought when I heard she was back was like, oh my God, great. The second thing was like, okay, who's coming back with her? Mm-hmm. Because that's extremely important. And I think there are three names that people have been talking about. One is Kenya, which I think is assured.
I think is very likely.
I think it has to be.
If there's anyone from season 15 who feels like their spot is kind of
guaranteed,
not in jeopardy, it would be Kenya.
Yeah, and Portia coming back. You need to have Kenya, especially if you don't have Candy. Mm. You just need to have someone with like an interesting, complicated history with this woman. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think the last time they were on together, it was like, you know, pretty like relatively friendly, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, they had some good moments after because they both had kids around the same time and were able to sort of breathe a little bit. I think, you know, maybe it's a little bit of a a like temporary stalemate type of thing. That's versus okay. like a true friendship. But yeah, what were the other names?
Phaedra.
Yes.
Which, I mean, there's an understanding that some of these like spin-off style Peacock shows can be a great way to sort of like re-audition/reintroduce mm-hmm. former housewives back into the universe. Obviously, she's on Married to Med, but like, I think The Traitors has been such an incredible showcase for her
yeah.
that actually feels more likely. And of course, with Candy gone, that yeah. seems.
I talked about that last week, that I wondered if the Bravo powers that be were almost kicking themselves for like putting Phaedra on Married to Medicine, when it turned out if they waited a year, like the big obstacle to her coming back to Atlanta was going to be gone. But they still could, obviously.
Yeah. And I don't know. Yeah. I think the timing is actually good with this, because mm-hmm. I think she would have been wasted had she been on the last season of Atlanta, because it was a bad season.
For sure.
And then the other name, which like, people have hope, and I, you know, I come from a place of hope, but not, I think people are like, it's going to happen. And I just don't see that. I just really don't see that.
Yeah. I think that there was, it felt like in the fall, I want to say, there was like a 1 week window where there were like some whisperings that Nene was going to be back. Mm-hmm. And it felt like it could maybe possibly be real. And then obviously there was no news about Atlanta for months after that. I gotta say, it feels like there was that brief window, and then all of a sudden it was closed, and like Nene doesn't seem to be. Have you seen her Instagram lately?
Is it bad?
She posted the other day. She's like, God. I don't know if she's hosting or attending or something.
A Bad Girls Club thing.
The Baddies reunion. And this clip that she posted is like, okay, now we're gonna bring out some of the other girls. And then this girl comes out. Immediately walks on the stage, takes off her shoes, and barrels forward into another woman sitting in her chair. No. The chair flips over, and that's the clip. Like, that's what Nene's doing right now. And I think that there was a point in time where I think Nene could have gotten sort of the like triumphant return that Portia's getting, but it feels like that window sort of closed. And now I don't know if Bravo would even care enough to pay whatever Nene would ask for to come back to Housewives.
I don't think that's because of her doing other shows and like finding work opportunities, which are, you know, difficult when you are known as a reality TV star who did, you know, she really did pop as an actor under the Ryan Murphy universe. But then that chapter ended. So I think it's tough, but I think the thing of it is, while I'm sure that there's a lot of valid reasons that Nene feels like she was not well cared for by Bravo and production, that's the understatement of the year. I think the difficulty is the way that she was speaking about Andy specifically was sort of similar to some of the stuff that Bethany has said. And I just don't know how you get past how specific she was on social, which is not to deny the reality of her hurt. And it's not to like negate that, but just to say, you know, if you're talking about him in a way that is very tough and tight, I don't know how you get around that to return. Because I think she's tried to open the door. She's been like friendlier about it with these like TMZ random pop-ups. Oh my God, they just saw her and they want to know if she's coming back to Atlanta. I think that's just, I don't know how you get past that.
Yeah. And I think also if we're looking, you know, I think it was Variety that reported last week that the news about Portia coming back. And,
shout out Kate Arthur.
Yes. And is using, you know, the word reboot and a mix of new and old. And I think that if you were to have, let's say, Portia, Kenya, and Nene on the show, it feels like that would leave not very much oxygen in the room for new people to really show up and kind of break out. And I feel like if they are going to put a lot of effort, and clearly they're taking a lot of time to reconstitute this cast, like they don't want three titans of reality TV and then three newbies that aren't going to even stand a chance.
Yeah, I think the casting and I think also whoever they work with from a production perspective are so incredibly important, which you would think, LOL, that should be what you say about literally every franchise in history.
We're
but
like 16 years into this.
But I think that the difficulty with Nene is because she truly, I think we can all agree, is on the Mount Rushmore of Housewives.
Yes.
I don't know how that works when you continue a show if her storyline consistently the last couple seasons she was on was like, I'm not being treated well and I'm a superstar, because I do think she's a superstar. I think most people can agree with that. But mm-hmm. I also think, like, what are the actual, is there a legitimate foundation of relationships with these people?
Yeah.
Or is the only argument going to be you're checked out because you've done your work? Like, yeah. Why should she have to? You know, like, I get that argument, but also that's not necessarily good TV.
Yeah. Last question about Atlanta before we move on to things that are actually that we can watch and talk about in the current tense. Is there a place for Marlo, do you think?
No. I don't think that she'll go back to Friend Of, and she truly, to me, did not work out full time, not even a little bit.
Yeah.
But I love her as a Monty.
You're like Monty. I'm not saying something that's going to get me canceled.
Because I do say those other words on Andy's Girls, but on this show.
You can say whatever you want.
I don't know. Some of that stuff I'll say for AG, but should she have been asked to be full time earlier? Sure. But like, did it work out now? No.
Yeah.
It was, she's tough. Yeah. She's tough.
I agree. I like Marlo a lot. I think she's given us a lot over the years. I think in terms of moving forward into a new era, I think it actually makes sense to bring only a couple people. And I think that Marlo is unfortunately like not one of the people that needs to make the list.
So can I ask a question to you?
Okay, fine.
Sir?
Yeah.
Sheree, she bye.
That maybe is trickier because Sheree obviously is an OG of Real Housewives of Atlanta. Mm-hmm. She has, you know, come and gone over the years. Mm-hmm. She's in her third stint. But she is somebody who feels like sort of the perfect side character in a way. But I don't necessarily think that she would work as a friend of. I don't know. I don't know if she would want that. But like, Sheree brings me so much joy in so many ways. But at the same time, what I was just saying about if you're really trying to craft a new era of this show, and if you're positioning maybe, let's say, Kenya and Portia or Phaedra and Portia or maybe all three of them as like sort of the, you know, the like monoliths of this franchise, I don't know if it makes sense to pull Sheree into that equation when you also are going to have new people. I just don't know. And I'm enjoying her so much on Traders this season.
She's like, so funny.
Our like dummy icon. I used to call Alexis Bellino my idiot queen. But like,
she's smarter than Alexis was. 100%. She's just not good at business or gameplay.
Right. Like I don't think she's good at like listening to instructions and remembering them. Like if when Alan is describing a mission on the Traders, if he was like, repeat that back to me, Sheree would be like, well, she'd be like, you said something about the prize pot. And
oh my God.
I think we're going to run something about a map. Like Sheree doesn't necessarily have a handle on like where all the pieces are on the chessboard.
Yeah. And I think she'd be a great friend of though. I think we need to, I can't let her, we can't fire her a fourth time because we would bring her back. She's coming back next season regardless.
God, I love Sheree.
Can I ask you one more question?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So assuming that Phaedra is back.
Yes.
Which I feel like 70-30. 65-35?
Yeah, I think it depends what happens with Married to Med, obviously, but...
Yeah, I wonder if her, you know, imaginary doctor boyfriend, the second one, is going to be real upset.
I think that regardless of what happens, I think Phaedra's stock has never been higher than it is right now.
She is so important. Yes. Like, genuinely, she's... People ask what I think is going to happen on Traders. I was like, first off, I have no fucking idea, which tells you to me that it's such a good show. And also, like, she just needs to stay as long as possible because I cannot get enough of her on the show.
Okay, but what's your question?
Okay, here's my question. So what's the likelihood and do you want this to happen? If Phaedra's back and Portia's back, mm-hmm. that there is a conversation about what Phaedra did.
Yeah.
Who said that?
I think that, you know, it was attempted briefly on her first season of Girls Trip, where it was like brought up once and kind of just like swept away a little mm-hmm. bit. I do think, or I'd like to think, that if she were to be brought back, especially like full time as a housewife, that it would be kind of like the right, not even just like the right thing to do from like a ethics standpoint, but from like a sort of bringing things full circle in the like storyline sense of it, to like have a real conversation about what happened. It's going to be like 8-10 years ago, and like why Phaedra went away from the group. We always talk about like the group, the ladies, the whatever, mm-hmm. like Phaedra was a part of that group for like 6 years and then has never been seen in that circle since. And we all know why, but I think that it would be like a good decision from like a TV making standpoint to like talk about it. Like, let's talk about the, you know, it's kind of the elephant in the room.
And I don't think there would be, I mean, Phaedra would know this better than I would because she is, as we know, an attorney. I don't think that there would be legal ramifications for that, because I think that initially one could make the argument that she didn't want to own up to this because from like a civil litigation perspective, yeah. regardless of the contracts that they sign, that there was a gray area here where it's like you could genuinely argue that if she admits to this, mm-hmm. there could be some potential liability depending on how Candy feels about, you know, how the reunion went down and what was aired or whatever. But I just think spiritually and emotionally, it's the thing, it's the weight that she carries. And she's so phenomenal. She's so talented. She's so smart. She's so funny. She's a superstar, genuinely. She's just so great. I just would love to not think of it, because it's that thing that, like, yeah. even if we're not thinking about it, it's still there. And it feels, because it's so heavy, it's like one of the bleakest, darkest things that has happened on Housewives. Mm-hmm. It's just so tough. But I don't know if she emotionally would want to admit to it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think there are layers of versions of the conversation that could be had that are more her admitting to it or yeah. less that direction. But I think just in terms of like what would make sense from a storytelling perspective, bringing her back into like the group again in air quotes, because like LOL, there wasn't really that storytelling responsibility on Married to Medicine or on The Traitors, where it's like, if you're just watching this show, you know, in a vacuum, more or less, you don't feel like you need an explanation for like why Phaedra is being like allowed to come to the castle in Scotland. But like, I think on Housewives, it would make sense to sort of like close that loop.
And I might be totally wrong, but I do think that like, aren't Phaedra, I might have made this up in my head, but aren't Phaedra and Portia like, they're good, right? I think they're good.
I don't know how like close they are, but
okay,
we'll see.
Because that would be really helpful, too, if there's a way to have this conversation where Phaedra doesn't feel like she's going to be attacked or, like, mm-hmm. put in a corner for the... I think right. that... But that's also a production thing. And we don't know... We really don't know exactly what happened when it happened. But we do know... I mean...
Yeah.
We have an idea we'll of see. Some of it. So, to be continued.
We'll see. Maybe later this year, we can circle back on what's happening with Atlanta.
Summer is fast approaching, which means more social events, more weddings to attend, more nights on the town, and hopefully more vacations. That's why I'm so thankful for today's sponsor, Honeylove, for covering us with the best shapewear. With Honeylove, you can feel your best even when you're wearing less. They've revolutionized compression technology, so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. Plus, they're the only shapewear that won't ever roll down, no matter how much you groove on the dance floor. For a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/MIA. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/MIA. When talking about shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling Superpower Short is the go-to. It has targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. Their Signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves. The Superpower Short is helping ladies everywhere sculpt and smooth from stomach to thigh by offering just the perfect amount of compression. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom an amazing shape. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/MIA. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/MIA. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. The summer vibes are just getting started, honeys. Shape your life with Honeylove.
I feel like we've all had that moment where you're at somebody's wedding and you're looking around the food, the venue, the music, the overall vibe. And you're making like that mental checklist of if I were planning a wedding right now, maybe you are, maybe you aren't. What would I want to copy from this? What would I want to change? What would I want to tweak? Well, I've been a part of my fair share of weddings over the years, and I know just how stressful the process can be. You go from that newly engaged bliss to overwhelmed by invitation paper and flower colors in the blink of an eye. But using Zola helps with wedding planning from start to finish and makes every decision easier so you can stay in your bliss. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake, Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and even maybe enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch. Zola helps couples plan the wedding they really want. With tons of unique features and personalized recommendations based on a couple's preferences, every Zola wedding is as unique as the couple planning it. They've thought of everything you'll need and have built every tool to get you to I Do, including customized checklists to get you moving, keep you on track, and prepare you for what's next. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com. But for right now, we should talk about Beverly Hills, Miami. I'm curious. Okay, so yeah. Miami this week. We are still in Mexico. I was like, I couldn't believe we were still in Mexico for like half this episode. I was like, we're still in Mexico.
Yeah.
Lisa's like, I'm stressed with what happened last night. I'm like, what happened last night, queen? And then it was like, oh, wait, last episode was last night because we're still in Mexico. So there's been a lot of Real Housewives of Miami news this week. Larsa and Marcus, as of this time, have refollowed each other on Instagram. They were like spotted at a florist together on Valentine's Day. So like, who the fuck knows? Getting the moment on this week's episode of Real Housewives of Miami where everybody in the cast finds out that that Michael Jordan has talked shit about his son's relationship with Larsa, that I don't know what timing in the universe allowed that to happen on this week's episode in the midst of their, you know, potential breakup and get back together situation. Oh, it made me so happy. It just like tickled my little heartstrings.
And Larsa saying, but he was laughing when he said it. Larsa, so he didn't mean it.
Larsa watching the video, Adriana pulling up the video on her phone at pickleball with Kiki there. Her being like, I don't think it's... No, I don't feel any type of way about it because you can tell that he's laughing in the video. And Kiki's like, let me zoom in on the video a little bit because I don't know. It's like, Larsa, it's kind of sad. And then in the confessional, she says, like, it's embarrassing that these women are grilling her on this video. And it's like, yeah, but it's more embarrassing that Michael Jordan said that on camera.
The fact that we are talking about Michael Jordan and whether or not he likes Larsa's boyfriend, who also happens to be his son, is truly wild. Like, have we all taken a second to be also, like, this is Michael Jordan?
It is so the way that she's like sweeping it away. She says it's not an issue because behind closed doors, everything is fine. But then she also admits that she has not seen Michael Jordan since the time that she and Marcus began their relationship. So she's saying behind closed doors, everything is fine. What closed doors? You and Michael Jordan.
There are no doors.
You and Michael Jordan are not in the same room. So yeah, you might be behind closed doors, but they're like in different states. The doors.
And is Marcus really telling her it's fine?
That's the thing. I believe that she and Michael Jordan have not gotten in a screaming altercation over her relationship with Marcus. But I don't believe that Michael Jordan is like telling her that he's so happy to see them together.
Yeah, it's like Larsa being like, Kim and I are still good.
I believe that maybe she hasn't heard specifically otherwise. And so in her mind,
right,
everything is good. But like, was Marcus talking to his dad for that whole time? I don't even know. They watched the Super Bowl together on a teeny tiny TV, but I don't know if they were hanging out last year.
Whose house was that?
Oh my God, I don't know.
Why was that TV so small?
It was so small. It was very, do you remember when Drew Barrymore posted that video last month where she was like watching some movie of hers was like came on TV and she posted a video of herself like watching it and crying. And it was like a teeny tiny TV on like a teeny tiny table. And it was like, girl, whose house is this? Like, you're Drew Barrymore. And it was Michael Jordan's TV. Or I don't know if it was Michael Jordan's TV. It was very that. It was like, why are you watching the Super Bowl on a 16-inch TV?
I've seen better TVs in bathrooms. Like at the Mark. Have you ever stayed at the Mark?
No, I've never stayed at the Mark. Have you stayed at the Mark?
Yeah, I was a nanny to a high-profile family.
You're like, when I was getting ready for the Met Gala, we had a nicer TV in the bathroom.
And there's like a TV, if I remember correctly, okay. I was there for a couple months. Like when we were at the, it was after a hurricane, they're like bajillion-dollar, I was a live-in nanny.
Yeah.
Their place needed to be worked on, so we were at the Mark for a while.
You know what? I've been getting a lot of cruise ship TikToks lately, and...
Oh, is that bad cruise ship still bad?
It's okay. The 9-month cruise is doing fine.
Okay.
But they just left LA.
Okay.
But the new biggest cruise ship in the world, I think it's called like the Icon of the Seas, there's been like room tours because it just like opened. And some of the rooms have like individual TVs in like the bunk beds in the kids' room. And they're nicer than Michael Jordan's TV.
Why do we want to be on the largest cruise ship in the world? Wouldn't you just not be on a cruise? Like, if you're on a city in the water, why don't you just go to the city?
Have we ever... There's never been a Housewives trip on a cruise. Can we do that?
I mean, okay.
I would love to see, like, the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City going to, like, an all-you-can-eat buffet on, like, a Royal Caribbean cruise ship.
And they've run out of Diet Coke. Like, production has dumped all of the Diet Coke into the water and been like, Lisa, are you thirsty?
Production is unwilling to pay for the drinks package.
Okay, you know what's so sad? Is that, like, my recall, I can't tell you how to spell my middle name, but the early seasons of New Jersey, were they not on a cruise? When Caroline and the Giudice Giudices went to Italy, were they not on a cruise for a part of that in Italy?
Maybe.
We're, like, talking, like, maybe season two?
Maybe. I don't know.
I'm just saying.
I want to see
there's a precedent there.
A Disney cruise.
Is that a thing?
Disney cruise?
Disney
has a whole cruise line.
I have an allergy. I have an alert. I break out in hives at the idea of being on a cruise. I don't understand it. And it's like they get bigger and fancier. I'm like, then stay at a hotel. Like, I don't get it. So, like, if a housewife is on a cruise ship, like, I would need those waters to be rough. Like, we need to figure out
a way.
It
would need to be like Cartagena.
They would need to do it like the Barbie movie, where it's like the waves are made out of cardboard. And it's like they're on a cruise ship, sure, but they're also on a movie set.
Okay, maybe we just need more Housewives on Below Deck.
Jill Zarin is, I guess, on the upcoming.
You're bringing up things that we don't need to get into.
Wait, but did you? Okay, so I need to catch up on Watch What Happens because I know there have been stellar episodes and I'm so far behind. But that clip of the new, because I don't watch Below Deck, apologies to the community, but I am still an ally. The captain was like, Carrie. Jill was the worst. And then Andy does like a super self-deprecating, like, oh my God, that's so surprising. I can't believe it. It was the funniest. And you know she's upset.
You know she's texting Andy being like, I heard what you said about me on Watch What Happens Live.
I'll
get angry.
I love it so much. I love how awful the original New York cast is to work with. Like, that brings me, because I don't have to work with them.
I have never had anything but lovely interactions with Jill.
Jill.
Yeah.
I've covered the Jill Zarin luxury lunch not once, but twice.
Yeah, yeah.
We held hands at the last luxury. I took a photo of it.
Do you remember you asked me if I wanted to come? And Daily I was like, Beast. Look, I so want to come, but I just can't.
I almost died because it was 100,000 degrees and they didn't have air conditioners or anything for any of the people on the press line. It almost took me out.
You wrote about that for
the Daily Beast.
The Daily Beast. Go look up like Jill Zarin sweat or something and you'll find it.
Do you know how I knew the piece was live? because Jill DM'd me. I had no idea. She sent me. I love Jill. I pray at the altar of Jill. I think Jill is phenomenal. I think they absolutely need her back on Legacy, Girls Trip, Vacation. Put the original cast of New York on a cruise ship and I will become Team Cruise. I'm cruising right along with Jill. I can't get enough of Jill. But I also love that they are sometimes monsters.
What do you think about Lisa and Nicole's chat that they have at the beginning of the episode this week, where Lisa shares that her parents had a sort of a strange relationship, and then while she was a teenager, she was living with the family of her boyfriend, and then she moved in with another boyfriend when she was 18, talking about sort of these like daddy issues. That's the word she uses. Mm-hmm. And she and Nicole sort of relate based on having complicated relationships with their fathers. I thought that was a really interesting, kind of unexpected moment, because I've never thought of Lisa and Nicole as kind of like having that kind of bond with each other. What was that? What did that do for you?
I think that's a really great point, because I really don't think of them. I know that they're like on the same show, but they don't really interact to me. It feels like Nicole's with Gertie, Lisa's with Larsa, then you've got like everybody else. And so to see them interact, let alone bond, is mm-hmm. like a little jarring, but in a great way. I'm like, oh, right. These people can also speak to each other and have a moment.
I think that with Miami, because they've had this cast of 9 people for the last 3 seasons, and 9 people that are really all contributing on a full-time level, even if 3 of them are labeled as friends of, you have these kind of pockets within the cast where it feels like, okay, like, Julia and Adriana are their own thing, and Alexia and Marisol are their own thing. And then you kind of have like Larsa, Lisa, Kiki a little bit. And then you have Gertie and Nicole. Obviously, they interact with each other. And I think that this season, they've kind of done a better job of breaking down those barriers a little bit, like seeing Julia and Alexia sort of exploring their friendship a little bit more. Seeing, I think, like Gertie going through her whole like health ordeal, I feel like has kind of opened her up to the group maybe more a little bit. Like, this cast just has so much going on at all times that I think, even as I'm like, you know, looking at my notes from last night's episode, I thought it was a great episode, but it's like hard to even know where to look sometimes.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I feel like we knew a little bit about her family stuff, not having a relationship with her family, maybe during the first generation of Miami. I know it came up, and I think what's her face, Joanna, maybe used it against her at a reunion or something. There was like a weird energy there. That could be completely wrong. So I apologize. I mean, I don't really apologize, but like that could be wrong.
Like, dear Lisa.
But so I love that. I want to hear more about that. I think that explains a lot about the feeling of like who's going to take care of me now that Lenny is gone, and what's going to happen if this new guy doesn't work out. I mean, it seems like she's very invested in like that dynamic continuing with a different person. But here's my question for you. Can I just like completely sidebar? Mm. How are we feeling about Julia?
I think that Julia is a really fun energy, and I think that she brings something really unique, not just to this show, but to Housewives as a universe. I think that given what I just said about this cast having 9 really, you know, full cast members and there being a lot going on at all times, I think that Julia would be the easiest person to trim.
Yeah.
And I don't like truly, and not that I like care that much, because it's like, you know, it's Housewives, shit happens. But like, I don't mean that I think she's underperforming or that I think she like isn't giving us enough. I just think that if you're looking at the pieces of the puzzle and you're trying to like, you know, find room for something new, or, you know, to bump Kiki up to full time, let's say, I think that Julia is the one that would make the most sense. And I think that then Adriana would have to maybe play along a little bit more with the rest of the group without her like, you know, sister soldier there. I think that there would be a little bit more space for Kiki to have a full kind of storyline. And I'm sort of leaning in that direction at this point of, I feel like Kiki has really blossomed this season more than the last 2. And I feel like every little crumb that she gives us of learning more about her, of seeing more of her kind of way of dealing with things. I thought her like arc with Lisa on this Mexico trip, I thought was extremely compelling. Like seeing them kind of have their like hug it out moment in the, you know, at the like market or wherever they were in shopping. I thought that that was like, you know, if that was a storyline that I felt invested in. And I think, I don't know. I don't know if what Julia, you know, it sucks. Like, I'm not like, oh, fire her ass. But like, you know, it might make sense.
I think it's tough when she's like trying to do what production is advising her to do. Cause she wants to be successful. Cause she needs to keep those chickens. And when they're like, you know, say so-and-so raise up this thing that's like really gossipy at this opportune time, it just feels so mechanical because Julia's like a good person. Like Julia, she doesn't read to me as someone who's like gossipy in that way. I think that's tough.
I think of everyone on this cast, she's the least skilled at making like reading a producer's text to her feel like it's coming from her.
Yeah, because you would, and she's a real person. She's not a reality TV personality. Yeah. She's a person who's on reality TV.
If nothing else, we'll always have, he's Larsa! Larsa! Can't take that away from us.
Oh, God. I know Andy like loves the Martina of it all. Yeah. So I think that's like a great value that she brings, that we know who she's married to.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love that? But, I don't know. I think maybe, you know, and I love her and I want her to have as many farm animals as she possibly can. I just don't know. I don't know that she's going to get it through Housewives.
I agree. I am so happy that warmer weather is finally back and we can get back to enjoying some time in the sun. But the springtime always brings those unwanted guests, pollen and seasonal allergies. April showers bring May flowers and also sniffly noses and stuffed up sinuses. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. I have had seasonal allergies for pretty much my entire life. Unfortunately, there are definitely those days where I have canceled my plans because I simply just don't want to be out in the world because of my allergies. But luckily, Claritin is the perfect thing that you can just take at the beginning of the day, and it really helps with all of those symptoms, clearing up your eyes, clearing up your sinuses, clearing up your congestion. It's the easiest way to just get those allergies under control, whether it's in the spring, any other time of year, and it's designed for serious allergy sufferers. Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? Well, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. Let's talk about Beverly Hills for a few minutes before we wrap up. So,
I'm never leaving.
Thank you. Beverly, I have a meeting at 2.
Cancel it, Jorge.
So Beverly Hills and Miami, both heading into season finales next week. It's interesting how these shows have had basically the exact same timeline. Mm-hmm. This season, they were on their trips at the same point. They premiered, I think, a week apart. They're ending around the same time. The energy, I think, is very different. It felt like this week of Beverly Hills, we sort of brought most of the issues within the group to a close, where then now we can have the season finale of what the fuck's happening with Kyle and Mauricio.
Okay, here's the issue that I have with the new footage of Kyle and Mo. And I could talk about Kyle and Mo for literally hours, and I have on Andrew's Girls.
Yeah, we did last week.
I think we quite literally did. Here's my upset is that when Scandoval happened, and may its memory always be a blessing.
Yes.
We had like a full, and I know that's like a moment in time. It's a totally different situation. All I'm saying is when I heard that cameras picked up for Kyle and Mo, I thought we were getting a full episode. Mm-hmm. I thought we were getting a full bonus episode. Yeah. And it seems like maybe this episode will be like, I don't know, 15 minutes longer or something. I don't even know. I just feel like it's not enough. Having not seen it, I feel like it's feeding me enough.
I fully agree. There is a big difference between picking up the cameras to film one or two sort of pickup scenes to tack on to the end of a finale. Mm-hmm. And Vanderpump Rules, when you watch that finale, they filmed for days.
Yeah.
They had different scenes happening. They had, you know, Dodie going over to Ariana. They had Sandoval going over to Sheena's house. They had, you know, multiple confrontations. Lisa got, Lisa got into glam. Like, they really, like, produced an extra episode of the show versus, this is happening. We should, like, film a scene to tack on to the end of the finale. And like you said, we haven't seen it yet. But I think that it felt like this episode, I do think they did a good job in this week's episode of that scene with Kyle and Mauricio talking about mm-hmm. kind of where they're at, the fact that they've been going to therapy together, and their sort, it felt like we got a really clear view of sort of like how they're approaching this situation differently. And the way that Mauricio is talking about when they're empty nesters,
ugh.
And Kyle's like, we're not empty nesters. Portia is still like, what, like 15?
I forget. Yeah.
He's like, yeah, but I'm thinking about tomorrow. It's like, you have at least three more years, let's say, of a child being under 18. Like, thinking about tomorrow is not the same as like, you have a situation you need to get through right now. And it felt like last week and this week were the first time that Kyle really was like open about the fact that it's like, if this doesn't change, we will not stay together.
Why has Mauricio not changed? Can he not access the idea that he needs to change his life? Or does he refuse to?
Yeah. I mean, the way that he consistently brings up work makes me think that he has sort of, whether it's a conscious choice or sort of just like a thing he doesn't know how to break out of, he's kind of chosen.
Yeah.
That work is going to be his wife. Mm. And that he's saying, you know, it's crazy. We only had this many employees or whatever. And now we have this many and we're opening two new branches a month. And it's just so crazy. It's like, right. And Kyle is standing in front of you saying like, hey, like I need a slice of that attention. And for whatever reason, he's just not there. And so in that sense, it's like, it's not like, it doesn't make me happy to see Kyle and Mauricio potentially be over. But if Kyle really isn't going to be able to get what she needs from him, then yeah, go find it somewhere else. Go be on your own. If you're going to be more fulfilled being on your own than you are dealing with this relationship every day, do that.
You would think, and we don't know what's going on in real time, you would think that once they announced that they were separated, or that announcement was made without their like consent or whatever, without their like permission, you would think that he would still want to fight for this. But does he just think that like it's over? I mean, he might be in real time, but he's like spiraling in Aspen. So well, I don't even, like he's having a midlife crisis.
For a minute, he was like spiraling into bed with his Dancing with the Stars partner. And then it's like spiraling into bed with Anita. I don't know. Like, allegedly, who knows?
But also, like, I don't even think about like the fucking, like, yeah. I'm not, if you're separate, I mean, every relationship is different. Like, you know, you have Sutton who said, I thought we were getting separated to work on our relationship. Mm. But it seems to me the way that she's presenting it, when she said she wanted to work on it, her husband was like, well, fuck that. I'm out.
Like, right. It's the thing of like, if you say you're on a break, are you on a break so you can work on things, or are you on a break so you can fuck other people?
I mean, Ross and Rachel forever, you know, like, what is it? And what does it mean to be on a break? It feels like their separation is a chapter, and what we're leading to is some sort of permanent something. It does not feel like this is something so we can get into our own spaces, but work this out. And that's not a critique. Like I genuinely want Kyle. This is Kyle's show. I'm centered around Kyle's experience. Like I'm not as centered around, I don't care as much, honestly, about Mauricio as I do Kyle. So I want her to be happy. I do think that is probably going to be maybe a new life as someone who's no longer married to this man. And that's heartbreaking for me because I never saw them going to this place, but they're here. So I just think here's my number one issue. Kathy going to the reunion, die for Kathy, making enemies over the course of this episode. I love Kathy. So it's great that she's like popping in for the reunion, her own little like Jamie Lee energy. But why is Mauricio not there? Mm-hmm. Why is Mauricio not there?
Why is Mauricio not there?
Like that's problematic for me if he's not there.
It really makes me think, and again, we haven't seen the reunion. I don't know.
Maybe he is there. Maybe he does catering or something. I don't know.
If Mauricio is not at the reunion,
Gaffer.
I have to imagine he said no to going to the reunion.
I don't know that it was asked of him.
I can't.
It might have been asked to Kyle. Can we do something with Mauricio? And she was like, no, thank you.
Maybe she said no.
Maybe she was like, I filmed with him after for the finale. That's enough.
Has there ever been a husband at the Beverly Hills reunion?
Yeah, many times. No? Wait.
Is there? At Beverly Hills?
Yeah, no? Hasn't PK's been there with Erica, Pantygate? Mauricio's been there, okay, maybe during the Brandy era.
Never mind, sorry.
I'm getting hyped up.
I'm going to get like 1-star reviews that are like, no! PK was there!
I mean, who could forget PK?
But yeah, like Beverly Hills is many not people, a show where the people. Husbands are just like default invited every year.
But this is ridiculous.
Exactly.
That's ridiculous that he's not there.
Also,
I'm getting upset.
Also, based on this week's episode and other episodes in the season, PK should probably be there too. Because the fact that he was, okay, this week he was on day 12 of a trip to London with no info about when he might be home. They have little kids. I think that, okay.
I never thought about that.
I think
it's terrible that I never thought about that.
As much as I think Dorit can be like a little bit like, LOL, calm down sometimes. Mm. The fact that you have like young children and your husband is just like, sorry, I've been gone so long, babe, but this deal's important, so I don't know when I'm going to be home. It's like, can we get an estimate?
Are they just doing that, though, because he was, like, filming a reality TV show and they don't want to talk about it? Because that would take it out too much, because then he's a reality TV star and not, like, PK, the guy who was once a billionaire and now does stuff with Boy George. Like,
I don't know. Boy George also.
Maybe she knew.
Boy George in Moulin Rouge on Broadway right now.
Oh, yeah?
Bad.
No!
I've been seeing videos on TikTok.
Dylan!
He, like, can't hit the notes. He, like, seems...
Yeah?
Unfocused, perhaps.
What does that mean? You're giving me eyes.
I don't know what it means. It could mean anything.
You're giving me eyes. You're going to tell me.
Well, I don't know what it means. I'm not going to like say why he might be unfocused.
You know.
Well, I don't know.
Okay, great. We're on the same page.
Not great.
I am shocked by that. And that show is bad. It's a bad show. It's not a good show. It's a very bad show. Unless you want to just hear Apple Music's like, here are the songs that everybody remembers from the last 7 years.
He has to sing Chandelier in that show. That's a tough thing. Titus was doing it before.
Well, Titus is a superstar.
Exactly.
But Boy George, because it's like Moulin Rouge errs on the side of stunt casting, but they're not as, I say this laughing, they're not as like, quote unquote, successful as Chicago was pre-Ariana, who I need to see. She's a star. But Moulin, it's not a good show. So it's truly not a good show. So like if he's bad in it, he's bad in a bad show. Yeah, I don't know. Like, oh, God.
But
no.
Like last year they had JoJo.
Let it not be. Who's, I think, from Rhode Island. So I have no comment.
Queen.
Okay, great.
Queen JoJo,
I have comments.
The vocals.
I think she's from Rhode Island. So I have no choice but to support.
You know who else is from Rhode Island? Sarah Galley. Thank you, Sarah.
The smallest state with the biggest heart.
The biggest talent.
The biggest talent and energy.
This has been a pleasure, Sarah. Thank
Why
you
do we have to stop?
We have to stop because I do have a meeting.
Wow. Is it with me? Can't we cancel that?
I'm 6 minutes late for my meeting.
Well,
we gotta go.
6 minutes well spent.
6 minutes well spent. Tell everyone where they can spend some more minutes with you.
As they leave 1-star reviews on your Apple. You can
leave it on hers.
No, don't do that. First, follow me on Instagram and then you can call me a twat. You can follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley. Listen to episodes of Andy's Girls, a semi-weekly drop. And the podcast focuses all on the psychology behind The Real Housewives and other TV. We have Taking It Personally special episodes as well. So you can listen to Andy's Girls wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And if you want exclusive bonus content, join the Andy's Girls Patreon at patreon.com/AndyScrolls.
Amazing. Thank you, Sarah. As always, thank you everyone for listening. Don't forget to rate, review, and follow the show wherever you listen. You can follow us on Instagram at Bravo by Betches. And until next time, be cool. Don't be all like uncool.
Goodbye.
Mention It All is produced by Dylan Hafer, Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales Pico, and Rebecca Sousmacat. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Dylan Hafer. Guest booking by Dylan Hafer and Ali Friedlander. Be sure to follow at Bravo by Betches on Instagram and Twitter. Thank you to our sponsor, Splash Refresher. Meet the water beverage that loves self-care as much as you do. Just because you have to hydrate doesn't mean it has to be tasteless. Splash Refresher makes hydration deliciously easy. Splash perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. I am going to go grab myself a wild berry splash now that I am done recording, and you should too. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches.